Shall we turn in our little flock hymn book to number 66 in the appendix? Number 66 in the back of the book. Come, hear the gospel sound, yet there is room. It tells to all around, yet there is room. Though guilty, now draw near. Though vile, you need not fear. With joy, you now may hear, yet there is room. Number 66 in the back of the book. Come, hear the gospel sound, yet there is room. It helps to all around, yet there is room. Though guilty, now draw near, though life you need not fear. I'd like to talk about four suppers tonight. We read about one of the suppers in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Most everyone, I believe, within the sound of my voice, is interested in supper. It strikes a note with every one of us. And especially when we're hungry, we're thinking about supper. And I know there are many boys and girls here in this audience tonight, young people as well, and others, who know what it is to sit down to the table and eat supper. And no doubt you know something about what it is to be hungry and to really appreciate a good supper. And we're going to read about some suppers tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about them, and I hope that you boys and girls will pay attention tonight, because you're going to hear something about a supper or suppers that are far more important than the supper that your mother puts on the table for you to eat. The supper that's put on the table is for your body, that you might receive strength and nourishment. But these suppers that we're going to look at tonight are different kinds of suppers. We might think of them as spiritual suppers, something that concerns our soul. Now, the first three suppers, we might think of them as really good suppers, but there's one more supper we hope to talk about should the Lord tarry, and that's a solemn thought. The Lord might come before this meeting is over, before I can even talk about that supper. But all that last supper, the fourth supper I'm thinking about, is an awful supper, and I'm sure you would not want to eat of that supper. You would not want to be present at that supper. Oh, it's an awful place. There's going to be judgment at that time when that supper is eaten. But let us look in Luke chapter 14 and read a few words about a great supper. Verse 16, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself that's speaking here, and he's talking about a man that made a great supper. A great supper. A great feast. I suppose at one time or another, sometime in your life, you've sat down to a table that you would consider a real feast. A great supper. Well, this supper that's been provided here that we read about is a supper for the soul. It's a supper for the hungry soul. You boys and girls, you young people, you're looking for something to satisfy your soul. Why? Because you have soul hunger. You're hungry in your soul. You know something perhaps about your body being hungry, your stomach crying for food, but I believe that you know something about your soul crying for something to satisfy it. Have you found that? Have you found something to satisfy your soul? Have you found something that can give you rest and peace in your heart? Perhaps you're still looking for it. Perhaps you think that something in this world will satisfy you. Some pleasure, some treasure, some trinket, some toy. Oh, if you only had that, then you would be satisfied. But I'm sure that if you got whatever you're looking for, thinking about, then you would be looking for something else, because those things cannot satisfy your heart. They cannot give your soul satisfaction. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the supper of God that God has prepared, can give your heart peace and joy and satisfaction. It's a great supper because there isn't anything greater than this. And I believe the supper is the supper of salvation that God has provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's a remarkable thing that the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, In the first chapter of John's Gospel, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. That verse speaks about receiving a person into your heart, And as many as receive him, they get the power to become the children of God. What a marvelous thing that you could receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and become a child of God. Now I'm thinking about another verse over in John's Gospel, chapter 6. And that actually speaks about eating the Lord Jesus. Now this is a portion of Scripture that's been misunderstood by a great many in Christendom. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Just think of that. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. I believe that tells us what is in that supper, that great supper of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself, his flesh and his blood. Oh, would you say? And maybe you're saying the same thing as these said. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Ah, but it's a spiritual thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on Calvary's cross, he gave his flesh. He gave his body to be crucified, to be nailed there on the cross. And he gave his precious blood too. His precious blood was shed when the soldier pierced his side. And out came the blood and the water. So at Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ gave his body and gave his life and his precious blood to show that his life was given. Now the Lord Jesus Christ says, except you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Unless you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the one who died for sins, the one who gave his precious blood to wash away sins, unless you receive him as your Savior, you won't have life. You have no life in you. Do you want life in you? You'll have to eat the right food. You'll have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Receive the one who died for you. Receive the one who shed his precious blood for you to put away sin. And he was the just one that died for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Oh, you boys and girls, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to receive him as your Savior. Open your heart to him. Let him come in tonight. He says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Would you like to have the Lord Jesus Christ come into your heart so that you might sup with him and he with you? Ah, you would have a happy time together. You would be supping together. You would be having fellowship together. You could go on through life the rest of your days together. And finally, you'd be caught up to be with him and be for all eternity with him. But dear boys and girls, if you fail to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not let him come into your heart and you die in your sins, look what you're going to miss. Oh, God has provided a great supper for you. It's a great supper because God has provided it. It's a great supper because it's the salvation provided by God through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Why, he is the creator of this whole vast universe. And in this age of intelligence, we're finding out more about the universe. And we're certainly finding out how small we are compared to God's great universe. And those men who went up into space and landed on the moon, I believe they were impressed with this fact, what a small part we are of God's universe. And those who have looked into the heavens with their great telescopes, they can see millions, yea, billions of stars, and they confess we only see a very small part of the universe. But my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, created it all. And He is the one whom God is presenting to us as the Savior, as this great supper. Will you have Him tonight? Well, if you receive Him as your Savior tonight, you certainly will be partaking of a great supper. I hope you don't make excuses like these did that we read about. The servant had gone out and said, "Come, for all things are now ready." Everything is ready. Perhaps there's some here tonight that would say, "Well, wait, I have to get ready for this. I have to make myself presentable. I can't go to this supper the way I am." Oh, how many there are that are like that. They think they have to get themselves into a presentable condition to meet God. Well, you cannot meet God at all unless you meet Him in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not have Christ as your Savior, you can never meet God. You will never be able to stand in God's presence unless you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your very own Savior. It's not by works of righteousness which we do. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot do one solitary little thing to prepare yourself for heaven, for the presence of God. Let God do the work. Let the Lord Jesus Christ do the work. Believe the word of God, and let that do its work in your heart. Let the Spirit of God do His work in your heart. Oh, God is longing to save your soul tonight. Will you let Him save you? Well, one said, "I've bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it." He was occupied with a piece of ground. And this one would let just a mere piece of ground keep him from coming to partake of this great supper. What an insult this must have been to the one who prepared the great supper, that there would be those who would offer these flimsy excuses. And certainly they were flimsy excuses. And these things were just very little, small things to be occupied with compared to that supper, compared to that invitation that was given. And there are those tonight, perhaps in this very room, you're occupied with this thing or that thing, and you say, "Well, wait a minute, I have to do this, I got to go see this, and I must be occupied with another thing." Not yet. I'm still young. I have plenty of time. But what will happen? While you're being occupied with your piece of ground or your little thing that interests you, the Lord Jesus Christ may come. And like with the five foolish virgins, they'll come and you'll find that the door is shut. The Lord Jesus Christ has come and you're left behind. Oh, we're living right at the end of the age. We're living in the very days when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back again. He's going to come down on the cloud and the shout will be heard and the Lord's own will be caught up to meet Him in the air. And if the Lord Jesus Christ came right now and we were caught up to meet Him in the air, how many would be left here on these chairs? There would be some vacant chairs, I know. But how many chairs would be occupied? How solemn that would be for you to find yourself sitting there on a chair and your father and your mother sitting by you, your friends sitting by you, all gone, and you're left sitting there. Perhaps one here, one there, and one in the other place in this room. Oh, what a solemn thing to face the fact of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and face the fact of eternity. Well, another one has an excuse. "I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them." Well, he was very much taken up with these 5 yoke of oxen, and I suppose they were important to him. He had already made the purchase. But evidently he had not proven them, and this was really a foolish thing of him to do. He was not a very good buyer, not a very good trader, and here he'd bought these oxen before he really knew what they could do. Well, you know, people who put off accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, These people who make excuses for not getting saved right now, they look very foolish. They look very silly. Oh, how sad to see people putting off the matter of their soul's salvation. And they do such silly, foolish things, just like this man did. Oh, don't be foolish tonight. No, don't be foolish tonight. Close in with God's offer of mercy. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't try to find more excuses for putting it off. And then, this next seems to be the most foolish of all. He says, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, he wasn't even thinking of bringing his wife along. He wasn't thinking about himself, nor was he thinking about his wife. And oh, I hope that there's no one like that in this room tonight. You're not thinking of your own soul, and you're not thinking of the soul of anyone else. You're not worried about this thing one bit. You're going on through this world, living day after day, as though you were going to live here forever, and the Lord was not going to come, and that there's no such a thing as hell. Oh, how sad. May the Lord speak to your heart tonight and make you to understand that this invitation that's been given to you to come to the great supper is a matter of life and death. If you receive the supper, if you accept Christ as your Savior, it'll mean life. If you don't come, if you put it off, if you neglect so great salvation, how are you going to escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, friends, tonight, don't put it off. God wants to save your soul. Just think of it. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to Calvary's cross, and there he laid down his life for us. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He hadn't done any sins. He hadn't committed any wrong, and yet he took a criminal's place. I suppose he took the cross. He was put on the cross on which Barabbas was to have been crucified. Actually, really, he took a criminal's place, and he took the sinner's place. And oh, if you would only see tonight by faith that he took your place. Yes, he died for you. But if you believe in him, you can say, Christ died for my sins. And I hope someone here in this room tonight will come to that point where he will say, yes, now I see it. I'm a poor lost sinner, and Jesus died for me. Christ died for my sins. This is the confession that God is waiting to hear from your lips. This is what we would like to hear from your lips. Oh, it makes me think of a girl over in Ghana. We were speaking in one of the schools there, and we had spoken for about a half an hour to those children. They were about junior high age. They were old enough so they could understand English. They'd been going to English school, and they had learned enough English so that they could understand English. Most of the people there cannot understand English, especially the little children and many of the women. They understand only the native dialect. But these could understand English, and so we spoke to them in the English language, giving them the simple gospel of salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for sinners. After that little meeting with them, a girl came up to the front, and there were tears in her eyes. She says, I want to be saved. You know, it would make us happy here tonight if some boy or some girl would say that to someone. Father, I'm troubled about my sins. I want to be saved. Mother, I'm not happy. I'd like to be saved tonight. And perhaps say it to some friend, some brother, some sister in Christ. Oh, can't you help me? I want to be saved tonight. You boys and girls, young people, if you have never definitely accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, tonight believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him and you will be saved. Oh, I remember when I got saved. That verse of Scripture in Acts 16:31 meant so much to me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Not believe something else. It shuts you up just to one. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, we read something here that we can be thankful for. It says in verse 22, yet there is room. Yes, there's still room in the Father's house. There's still room at the supper table. There's still room at this great feast. And you know, we've been talking about having the Lord Jesus Christ as our object today. And we feast upon the Lord Jesus Christ when we have Him as our object. He means everything to us. He's the one that satisfies us. He's the one that fills our hearts with peace and joy and gladness. The moment you begin to feast upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the feast will last forever. It will never end. Have you ever had a very dear friend? And there wasn't anything that you wanted more than to be in the company of that friend. To be in the company of that friend was a sort of a feast to your heart. Well, magnify that 1,000 times or more in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're beginning a feast. Because you have Him as your Savior, you have Him as your companion then, all the way through your life, all the way till He comes to take us to glory and for all eternity. And that's why it's going to be a joyous feast, because we'll be in the company of the One who loved us and gave Himself for us. And I don't believe that we could think of anything better than that, to be in the company of the Lord Jesus Christ, the One who has loved us with an eternal love. And when He once picks us up, He will never let us go, because He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father that gave them me is greater than I, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Wonderful to have a Savior like that, who loves us and cares for us so much that when He picks us up and brings us to Himself, He keeps us forever. He wants us by Himself. He wants us close to Himself. He wants us to be His companions forever. Ah, when you find a companion like that, surely you will want to be with that companion. You will want to be in His presence, and it will be a continual feast for you. Ah, yet there's room. There's still room at this kind of a feast. There's room for you tonight, dear friend. But there's a solemn thing here that's brought before us. There were those who do not answer the call. They don't answer the invitation. They don't come when they're bidden to the great supper. And so what happens? Well, the servant is sent out into the highways and hedges to compel them to come in. To compel them to come in. That shows how intent God is on having souls with Him in the glory. He must have company. That's the heart of God. That's the way He is. He's a definite, real person. And He wants company. The Lord Jesus Christ wants company. And that is why the servant is sent out to compel them to come in, that his house might be filled. God wants His house filled. Will you be one tonight that will help to fill God's house? Well, if you receive Christ as your Savior, you'll become a child of God, and you'll be one of those to fill the house of God. And you will be one of those to make God happy, to make the Lord Jesus Christ happy, and to make all heaven happy. We do read in the next chapter, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Joy in heaven over one sinner. Oh, if we could only see one boy, one girl tonight, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we would know that there's joy up in heaven. And I wonder who's having the most joy. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. God is having the joy, and it makes all heaven rejoice. How long have you been keeping heaven from being happy over you? You can make heaven happy tonight by receiving Christ as Savior. Well, we don't want to linger too long with this supper, but this is the important supper. But if you do take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you partake of this supper, the supper of salvation, then you will be ready for the next supper. The next supper we read about is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is the supper of remembrance, the Lord's supper. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Now I read those scriptures over in John's Gospel, chapter 6, about eating the flesh of the Son of Man and drinking his blood. That is speaking of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving himself in death. And for you to eat that flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood means that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, believing that he is the one who died for your sins on Calvary's cross. It has to do with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who has died on Calvary's cross that you must receive as your Savior. It's not enough to look at the Lord Jesus Christ walking through this world as a perfect man. He could have done that and gone right back to heaven without dying, but he would not be our Savior then. It would be no good for you just to believe in him as a living Son of God down here in this world, walking as a perfect man through this world, living a sinless life. Ah, yes, we believe that, and we thank God for a man like that. But if he had never died, what good would it do us for him to be here and then go back into heaven? It would mean that we would be left here to perish in our sins. And he would never have any company in heaven. But he was the corn of wheat, or the kernel of wheat that fell into the ground and died. And it says, except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And the blessed Lord Jesus did not want to be alone. He wanted to have company. So he came down into this world and not only walked through this world as a perfect man, but he went to Calvary's cross. And there he died for sinners. He died for you and me. He laid down his life. His precious blood was shed. Ah, it's the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that's needed. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. All of this goes together. His death, his burial, his resurrection. And God raised him from the dead to indicate that the Lord Jesus Christ had glorified him. And now he raised him from the dead to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And he's now seated at God's right hand. And there's the proof that the work that he came to accomplish at Calvary's cross in dying for our sins, it's accepted with God. It's a perfect work. And he has fully satisfied God and honored God and glorified God in connection with the sin question. in his death there on Calvary's cross. The resurrection, the raising of Christ from among the dead is the proof of this. Oh, how thankful we are for the death of Christ and his resurrection and his going back to glory, and we're thinking of his coming again. But the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is all important, for without the shedding of blood is no remission. If the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ had not been shed, there could be no forgiveness of sins for anybody. But now, as we see in all the types in the Old Testament, we see it now in reality, connection with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And it's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you believe that he died for you, that you're forgiven of all of your sins, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins. Isn't it wonderful to have the forgiveness of sins? Do you know your sins forgiven tonight? Well, I believe if you really know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not be backward in responding to what the Lord Jesus Christ says in the scripture we've just read about this supper of remembrance. Because the Lord says, "This do in remembrance of me." And again, "Drink it in remembrance of me." The Lord Jesus Christ wants to be remembered. And he gave this out on the very eve of his betrayal. And before he went to Calvary's cross and was crucified, he instituted this supper of remembrance. And he asked his disciples to remember him. It was his dying request. And I'm sure if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will have thanks and praise in your heart to him because he died for you. And you will want to remember him too. You will want to eat the supper of remembrance. You will want to answer to his dying request because you will say, "Well, that's the least I can do. And it's the best you can do because it's something he's asked you to do. And what better can you do than to do what the Lord Jesus Christ himself asks you to do?" And a very simple thing at that, but a very solemn thing too. "As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Well, every first day of the week when we come together to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and to show his death in this way, by partaking of the loaf and the cup, every Lord's Day we come together to think of his death, it's another feast. Feasting upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Feasting upon his death. Of course not eating his literal flesh and drinking his literal blood. No. That's only a material thing. That's the material side of it. This is a spiritual thing. Feeding upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins. Feasting upon his death for us. That he died there on Calvary's cross and suffered all that for us. This is what is a feast for us. Just to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how he must have loved me. Why, he loved me so much that he went to that cruel cross. And although he hadn't committed one sin worthy of being there, yet he went there for my sake and bore my sins in his own body on the tree. Perhaps there are those here in the room tonight who have not yet partaken of this supper of remembrance, but who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why are you waiting? Doesn't the Lord Jesus Christ mean anything to you? Doesn't it mean anything to you that he died on Calvary's cross and suffered all that for you? Doesn't it mean anything to you that he's asked you to do this in remembrance of him? Oh, those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, who have partaken of the Great Supper, those who have really believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have the title to be at this supper of remembrance. Now there's another supper spoken of over in Revelation. Chapter 19. And again I say, if you have partaken of the great supper of salvation, you will be among those speaks here that will be glad and rejoice and give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness, or the righteousnesses, or righteous acts of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. The marriage supper of the Lamb. What a supper that will be. A supper of joy. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. It will be a time when we give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the marriage of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb. And why doesn't it say the marriage of Christ? The marriage of Jesus? No, it's the marriage of the Lamb. And you can't help but think about the words of John, who is writing this too. But in John's gospel, he says, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was God's Lamb. We hear Abraham saying to Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. And who was that lamb? That lamb was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was sent into this world. And he was God's Lamb, hung there upon Calvary's cross. And he was offered there for our sins at Calvary. His precious blood was shed. The Lamb of God. And so I believe that in this very word, Lamb, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is again brought before us. You know, we will never forget the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity, in glory, when we're together around him. It's by his death, faith in his death, taking our place on Calvary's cross and dying for our sins. It's by faith in that we're saved. And this is what we're thinking about when we come together to remember him, to show his death in the supper of remembrance. And it will be so when we're up there in the glory with him. We'll be thinking about him as the Lamb who went to Calvary's cross and died for our sins. You see how the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is the center of it all. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on Calvary's cross? Have you believed that he died for your sins? Have you seen him hanging there, bearing your sin on the cross? Oh, if you haven't, be concerned about it tonight. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, take your place as one of those lost, straying sheep. Confess to God, yes, I'm a poor, lost, straying sheep. Ah, then you will see God pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, his Lamb, and saying, Yes, I laid all your sins on him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess to him that you're a poor lost sinner and that you need him. And then you will know that God laid our iniquities upon him. Wouldn't you like to know that tonight? That all of your sins are taken care of. All of your sins are gone. All of your sins forgiven and forgotten by God. He says, I will remember them against you no more. But believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Receive him as your Savior. And then you will know this for sure, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And that by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have peace with God through faith in him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way to get peace but through the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in him. But being justified by faith means that we're right in God's sight. The sin question is settled because we have believed in the one who settled the sin question. You and I can never settle it. Oh, there are multitudes tonight going on their way trying to settle the sin question. They're trying to get right with God. They're trying to do something to gain favor with God. But they can't settle the sin question. Even though from this day on, they might live a perfect life and do many wonderful things. What about those sins in the past? What about all of that? Ah, they cannot right the sin question. They cannot settle it. It has to be taken care of. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The death must be meted out for sin. And if you do not have a substitute, and that substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have to meet God in your sins and suffer the penalty for those sins in your own person. But tonight, we make it known to you that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. He took the penalty for sin on Calvary's cross. He took the punishment there on Calvary for you. And if you will just take him tonight as your Savior, you will find that the sin question is settled. And through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're right with God. You're justified before God. And you have a standing before God, not in anything that you are or you have done, but you have a standing in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because when you receive Christ as your Savior, he's the best robe of righteousness that you put on, and in him you can stand forever and for all eternity in the presence of God. Well, here's this marriage supper of the Lamb. And it's a time of rejoicing and gladness and giving honor to the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the one who died for our sins. Yes, all eyes will be upon him, and even angels will be looking on. However, they will not appreciate, as we will, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they can stand by and admire, and they can honor him, and even now, they're bowing down to the Lord Jesus Christ. And angels and principalities are subject to him, even now. Oh, what a scene that will be when all eyes are fixed upon that Lamb, the Lamb of God, that did this wonderful work. We read about the righteousnesses of saints, which is the fine linen, symbolized by the fine linen we're given to wear. But this is something else. This has to do with the work that a child of God does after he's saved. Now, there are many that think they have to work to be saved. But that's God's work, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. God saves your soul. And you haven't got one thing to do with that but simply to accept Christ as your Savior and believe he died for you. There were some that came to the Lord. They said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? He says, this is the work of God, that ye believe in him whom he hath sent. Ah, the very believing in your own heart is the work of God. You're hearing the word of God. God is speaking to you by his Spirit. And God says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you believe tonight? Will you believe tonight? Let God do the work for you, the work of saving your soul. But then after God has done the work in your heart, you've been created anew, really born again, then you can begin to work for God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You need to be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And if you haven't been born again of the Spirit of God, you can't begin to do one thing to please God. It's not until you're born again and have a new life that you can begin to please God. And so it is that after you're saved, then you can work for God. And this is what this verse speaks about, the righteousnesses of saints. And there's going to be a reward for that. Salvation is a gift. So that's different from this. Now it says, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Are you going to be there? Are you going to be there? Well, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, if you have partaken of the great supper, and you've enjoyed the privilege of being at the supper of remembrance, ah, you're going to enjoy this too, of being together with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory, and be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, one more supper in this same chapter, the 19th chapter of Revelation. Now, Now, the ones who partake of this supper are not human beings, but it brings before us the judgment of God that's coming. And we read in verse 17, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great." Look at that, small and great. "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse," that is, to make war against the Lord Jesus Christ, "and against his army." We're part of that army, those of us who believed in the Lord Jesus. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant, or the rest, were slain with the sword of him that sat on the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." Oh, what a judgment there's coming when these battles take place at the end of the age. The Lord Jesus Christ first comes to take his own to be with himself. And then many will be left behind. And they will suffer the judgments that are coming afterward. And after a period of about 7 years, then the Lord Jesus Christ comes way back to earth. And it's then that these go out to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're all slain. And dear friends, what an awful, awful thing it will be for you to be left behind. Because if you're not slain during the 7 years of the tribulation period, surely you will be slain here, because you will be among those who are the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, you say, but I don't want to be an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you don't want to be an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ, do something about it tonight. Because the Lord has said, he that's not for me is against me. So if you're not for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you're against him. You say, well, how can I be for him? Confess to him that you're a poor, lost, guilty sinner. And accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Tell him, I'm a sinner and I want you to save me. I believe you died for me. That's being for him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is being for him. Receiving him as your Savior, letting him come into your heart, that's being for him. Will you be for him tonight? Don't take middle ground. There is no middle ground. Middle ground is being against the Lord Jesus Christ. You're trying to straddle the fence. It's being against the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you be for him tonight? Definitely tell the Lord Jesus, yes, I know you went to the cross to die for my sins. I accept you as my Savior. Don't make it difficult for yourself. Just simply bow to the Lord Jesus. Acknowledge to him that you're a lost sinner and that you're the sinner he died for. And tell him you accept him as your Savior. Won't you do that tonight? Oh, then you'll be spared from the judgment that's coming. And this isn't the last of judgment, because this is only the first part of judgment, which brings in physical death. There is that which is spoken of in the Scripture as the second death. Those who die under the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ and die in their sins without Christ, they will be raised again and be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Oh, you say, I don't want to go there. Of course you don't want to go there. But do something about it. Make a decision tonight. Receive Christ, as many as received him. To them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Them that believe on his name, as many as received him. Will you be one of those as many? Will you be one of those them that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, make your decision tonight. Don't put it off. Because he says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. We may all be gone to glory. And you who don't know the Lord Jesus, left behind. and the gospel won't be preached anymore. What a solemn thing it will be to be left behind and left for judgment, eternal judgment. Let's sing that little song that we sing sometimes, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus just now, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come.